One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Hazel and Clifford in the library.
How's father today, Cliff?
Not so hot. He hasn't slept very well the last couple of nights. This Teddy Elwood separation's got him down.
Has anybody seen Teddy?
Paul just telephoned. He's on his way to Morty Pemberton's apartment. He hasn't heard from Teddy, so I guess he wants to see what goes.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Have you ever tried Alka-Seltzer as first aid for relief from a headache? Well, friends, if you haven't, you don't know what you're missing. Yes, Alka-Seltzer acts so fast, relieves pain so fast, that you're missing out on a mighty good thing if you don't know about Alka-Seltzer and depend on it when you're feeling miserable with a headache. Alka-Seltzer gives you the benefits of one of the world's most effective pain relievers, and it's so easy and so pleasant to take that we know you'll like it. So remember this, where there's Alka-Seltzer, there's a way to fast relief from the pain of a headache. Get Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore. Chapter 8, Book 81. The wan, wintry daylight is beginning to give way to darkness as Hazel Barbara Murray comes in the back door of the family home in Seacliff, San Francisco. Her brother Clifford is in the library with the afternoon paper.
Yoo-hoo! Anybody home?
Yeah, come on in the library, Hazel.
All right.
Hello. Oh, hi, Paul. Yeah. You going where?
Well, Cliff, are you... Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on in, Hazel. I'm talking to Paul. Hazel just came in. Huh? You okay? Well, good luck, fella. Give her our best. Yeah, well, so long. That was Paul calling to say he wouldn't be home for dinner. How are you?
Fine, Cliff.
Sit down.
Where's Mother?
She went over to Jack's a little while ago. Dad's taking a nap, I think.
How is he today?
Oh, not so hot, I guess. He hadn't slept very well the last couple of nights. This Teddy Elwood separation's got him down.
Yes. Has anybody seen Teddy?
That's what Paul was calling about. Said he was just leaving for Morty Pemberton's apartment. Hasn't heard from Teddy, so I guess he wants to see what goes.
Seems awfully strange to me that she wouldn't have called, Paul. Don't you think it's pretty thoughtless of her?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Poor kid's probably afraid to, in a way. I imagine she thinks the whole family's blaming her and disapproving of her for walking out on Elwood.
Yes, but you'd think she'd want to give her side of it, explain why she did it.
Maybe there just isn't any explanation.
You don't leave a husband without a reason, Cliff.
Oh, sure, she had a reason, all right, but it might be one of those things, you know, you do something because you feel it's the only thing you can possibly do, and then when you come down to analyzing it or explaining it, you feel kind of silly about it. I'm not making myself very clear, but you see what I'm getting at, don't you?
Yes, in a way.
Look, let's face it, Hazel, from a conventional standpoint, Dad's viewpoint, for example, if we take that, Teddy probably hasn't got a leg to stand on. But she's left a guy who's crazy about her. She's... Why, Elwood had probably lied down in the mud and let her walk on him if he thought she wanted him to.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Okay, and he's hardworking and he's steady and all the rest of it. Well, you can say a dame's foolish to leave a man like that. From Dad's standpoint, she is. Maybe he's right, I don't know, but I do know that you can't go on living with somebody if there isn't that something between them.
Then she shouldn't have married him in the first place. She certainly must have known how she felt. You get married because you're in love, not to find out about it.
Yeah, but a lot of times you can't tell until you've lived with a person. You've got to remember that Teddy kind of got shoved into a corner on this deal. Dad fell for Elwood right from the beginning. There was a lot of pressure on her. If she hadn't been around the family home here, she might not have married Elwood.
No, Cliff, I don't think that's quite fair to Father.
Huh?
You're implying that he pushed Teddy into this and making him responsible for the mess things are in.
No, Hazel, I'm not saying that exactly, but... You'll have to admit she was pretty lukewarm. I wouldn't say she's what you'd call an ecstatic bride.
Well, she picked Elwood out herself long before the family ever heard of him. It was pretty well understood they were engaged after going around together in Germany.
Yeah, but she sure seemed to cool off after she got home here. With Paul around, she started measuring poor old Elwood by him. And that's her big trouble right there. Teddy probably's going to go on doing that all of her life with every man she meets.
I think that's exactly it. So it isn't Elwood. It would have been the same thing no matter who the man was she married.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Well, it's about time. Oh, hello, Father.
How are you, Hazel?
Clifford said you'd been taking a nap.
Yeah, been lying down a little. Couldn't sleep. Where's your mother?
Went across the hedge a bit ago. Took something over to Betty.
Yeah.
Shame you weren't able to sleep, Father. You look tired.
Yeah, been lying up there looking through a book on statistics. Do you realize there were 380,000 divorces in this country in the year 1949? 380,000 broken homes, Hazel. Think of that.
Why, that's appalling, Father.
Multiply that by two, and you have over 750,000 unhappy husbands and wives who have gone their separate ways. Torn up their homes, uprooted probably 1 million children who'll go on being buffeted about the rest of their lives.
Gosh, Dad, no wonder you couldn't sleep reading stuff like that. You should have gotten a good mystery story, something to take your mind off your troubles.
Yeah, 380,000. That's in round numbers, of course. But as you say, Hazel, it is appalling. And in 1950, the Barber family apparently is well on the way to make a contribution to help swell the figure.
Now, Father, Teddy's a long way from a divorce yet.
Yes, I hope you're right, my dear. David, remind me to bring that book down at dinner time. I want Paul to see those figures.
Paul won't be here for dinner, Dad.
Hmm?
He's gone to Maud Pemberton's apartment to see Teddy. Said he didn't know how long he'd be, but to tell Mom not to count on him for dinner.
He telephoned?
Yeah. I imagine he must be there by now. Said he was leaving right then to go to this Maud Pemberton.
Right in. Take this chair here, Mr. Barber.
Well, thank you.
Teddy's not here yet, but I'm expecting her very soon.
Well, I'm a little earlier than I said I'd be.
Yeah, you almost caught me before I had all my war paint on.
Well, that has a rather ominous sound. I hope you weren't expecting a battle.
I was referring to my makeup. Now that you've mentioned it, I was prepared to sort of take you apart in a feminine way. After seeing you and sizing you up, I think I'm going to get along all right with you.
Well, that's reassuring. I always come off second best with a woman on the warpath.
I'm not so sure about that. I think you'd be able to take care of yourself under any circumstance. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to see what Teddy means. You've got a daughter who's pretty crazy about you. You know that, don't you, Mr. Barber? And the reason I said I was ready to take you apart was I don't think you've been very nice to her.
Oh?
Yeah. I think you should have come to see her sooner. Teddy's in kind of a state about this step she's taken. And her main worry seems to be about you. In fact, she seems to be more concerned about how you're taking this than she is about her husband. I don't suppose I should be saying all this to you.
Why not?
Well, it's not really my place. After all, I'm a complete stranger to you. You might think it's a little out of line for me to be putting in my 2 cents worth.
Well, I don't think it's out of line at all, and I'm sure that whatever you tell me is prompted by real affection for Teddy. You proved that by taking her in and being so kind to her.
Well, that's been no sacrifice or any trouble, because I was delighted to have a congenial person around. She keeps me from being lonesome. And little Maudie gets awful lonesome at times. When I say little, I'm straining the meaning of the word a bit.
But you know, Miss...
Why don't you just call me Maudie? All the doctors at the hospital and patients, everybody calls me Maudie.
Well, I was going to say, Maudie, that Teddy's been very lucky to have a person like you around with a merry laugh and a sense of humor. That ought to keep her from being in the doldrums too much.
Well, I try to kid her out of it when she gets in a blue funk. I manage fairly well most of the time, but she was pretty low when she left this morning. I think it'll do her a lot of good to see you. She know you were coming here?
I left word at the hospital I'd be here. I didn't talk to her. They said she was busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless they've shoved her onto some emergency case, she ought to be popping in any minute now.
Mm-hmm. So you think I've neglected Teddy,
No. I said I didn't think you'd been very nice because you didn't come to see her right away.
Actually, I did call here the night she left Elwood, but no one answered the phone.
Oh, well, we went out to a movie. I thought it would help to get her mind off herself. She'll be glad to hear you did call.
Be honest with you, Maudie, I haven't known quite what to do. That may seem like a strange remark coming from a father, but this situation is a bit more complicated than it may appear on the surface. You see, Teddy's my adopted daughter.
Yeah, I know. She told me all about you. I can see what you mean when you say it's complicated. Do you remember Mr. Dick and David Copperfield?
Yeah.
Every time he tried to write something, he got blocked because King Charles' head kept getting in the way. I guess it was King Charles. Anyway, you have very much the same effect on Teddy. Everything she tries to do, Paul keeps bobbing up, even when she got married. She couldn't concentrate on this Elwood because the thought of you was always coming into her mind. She knows it, too, and she's doing her best to lick it.
That's exactly why I don't know whether it'd be better if I didn't come to see her right now. Oh. I don't want her to think I've forsaken her, but... if she falls back on me now in a childish way, it'll make it that much harder for her to stand on her own feet in the long run. As you say, she knows this, but that doesn't help much now when she's feeling lost. When you get that feeling, it's natural to want to run back home again.
And how? I've had it plenty of times. Just to get back to Mama and Papa and give up all the struggle and competition. Hmm. Then I stop and realize what an old stinker my old man is, and I come to my senses. Maybe you're not enough of a stinker, Paul. Listen to me calling you Paul. Pretty chummy, huh?
Well,
Oh, phone. Excuse me. Hello? What, Teddy, where are you? Hmm? Yeah, he's sitting right here. Oh, sure, just a second. She wants to talk to you, Paul.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Teddy. What's the matter? Where are you now? Well, Teddy, darling, I can't understand you. I see. Well, if you feel that's best for you, why, of course. All right. Bye.
She told me she was phoning from a drugstore. I couldn't understand her very well. Was she crying?
Yeah.
Did she say what the matter was?
Said she'd been walking around trying to decide whether to come here or not. She finally concluded she doesn't want to see me.
She's not coming home.
She said for you not to worry if she didn't come in till late.
What's she going to do?
Going to walk around for a while, and then she's going to a movie by herself.
Do you think it's good for her to be alone?
I don't know. But she made it clear she doesn't want to see me.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Now that cold, blustery weather is really here, watch out for colds. But if you do catch cold, remember, to get quick, comforting relief from cold misery, take Tabsin Quick. That's T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin, the new and different antihistaminic cold tablet. Tabsin can do more to help relieve your cold misery. Tabsin is more than just an antihistamine. Yes, besides containing one of the most effective antihistamines on the market to help relieve the sniffles and sneezes of your cold, Tabsin contains other relief-giving ingredients. These ingredients help to ease the headache and reduce the fever, which so often accompany a cold. Now, you may have tried other antihistaminic tablets without the relief you hoped for. But remember, Tabsin is different. Yes, here is a better formula to check cold symptoms than just antihistamine alone. So ask your druggist for the new and different antihistaminic cold tablet, Tabsin, the bright red tablets in the bright red package. Here's the family again.
Well, Marty, I suppose I'd better be on my way.
Well, what are you going to do about dinner? You haven't eaten, have you?
No.
Why don't you stick around? I'll whip up something. Or did you have other plans?
No, nothing definite, but
you won't be sorry you stayed, because I'm a terrific cook if I do say it myself.
Friends, remember to try Tabsin for relief of your cold symptoms. Yes, when you take cold, take Tabsin Quick. Feel better quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin, now at all drugstores. Tabsin relieves sniffles and sneezes, the watering and itching of the eyes and nose. But Tabsin does more. It can also relieve, quickly and effectively, the headache and fever which so often accompany a cold. That's Tabsin, T-A-B-C-I-N, for cold misery. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Father Barber visits Elwood, Chapter 9, Book 81. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.